This is the North Salt Lake Parks and Arts Board meeting for Tuesday, February 26th, 2019. We are going to start by bumping up one of our open topics, which is the Food Truck League. So we will turn the floor to you. Thank you for being here. Will you introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I am Elliot Steinle. I'm the operations manager for the Food Truck League. It's a pretty small company, about 15 employees. We started 4 years ago, kind of mirroring the league or the setup in San Francisco, just having a central point for food trucks. So you don't have to follow 100 different Facebook pages to find the food trucks that you want. We started with creating evening events. Nightly, weekly roundups in the summer with, you know, 6 to 15 food trucks. And then we also do catering for any kind of food truck catering. And then we do corporate lunches where they park a food truck outside the building during lunch hours for people to go down and eat without having to leave their building. We just finished a food truck park down in South Jordan. It's the first one in the state with indoor seating for food trucks that come and park outside. We're really excited about that. We're going to be doing a food truck roundup here in North Salt Lake at Legacy Park. We're really excited about that. And so they recommended that we come to this meeting and see what you guys' food truck needs are, see what we can do to help. If you guys just want suggestions, we can do that. If you want to schedule through us, we can take it all off your plate, and we can do that too.
So when is the food truck night for Legacy Park this summer? What, do you know what day of the week it's going to be?
Mondays?
Yeah.
Mondays?
Mondays. Starting
Monday, starting May. I think they decide May.
Yeah.
So they're going to take up the west side of that parking lot.
Okay.
We're going to petition that off for them, and then they're going to help us with a bunch of other the city events. So just figured to come get them in front of you guys, because Kite Festival, whatever you guys feel like you guys need have needs at, these guys are awesome at making that happen. So
we have some day events. Do you do this during the day as well, or like mornings on the weekends and stuff?
Anything with food trucks, we love helping build the industry. So
what is the kind of like the minimum parameters for you need this many people in order for us to want to send, or how many trucks you'll send?
Great question. So we shoot for around 100 customers per food truck. If they're there for all day, then we go for 200 just to make it better, because it's a long shift, you know, 12 hours. And so shoot for around 100 customers per food truck. For smaller events, if you're not sure, there's something that they set up called a minimum guarantee, where they say, I guarantee you're going to make at least 500, and I'm so sure about that you can prep food for that much, and if you make less than that, then I'll raise it. So if you make 400, I'll pay the extra 100, and that's a solid way to make sure that the food truck knows that people will be there, they can prep enough food for everyone, and everyone's on the same page.
So some of our events are smaller. I don't know if we could guarantee, especially for 6 to 15 trucks, that they would make 500. Can we request just like one or two trucks?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
So okay. We can request the number of trucks we want.
Yeah. And we love being able to work with you on helping you figure out how many trucks you're looking for as well. From the planning and logistics side, we try to take as much off your plate as possible and say, okay, what is your vision for the event? We can recommend the best trucks to fit that, how many, the layout, anything to do with food trucks that we want to be able to help with.
And then do you have like a fee that you charge for doing that?
For the city, we could waive it. It's a $50 booking fee for just anyone that asks for a food truck to put together. If we're partnering with the city, then it's really easy for us to say it's a city event, we can waive the fee. And work with you on minimums too, so that because we know budgets are limited and things like that.
So it's a network of food trucks that you are connected with.
Yeah, we kind of view it as the food trucks are outsourcing scheduling and marketing for us. We will schedule them, so they don't have to worry about it, and then we'll market. And we have 51,000 followers on Facebook. We can leverage that for events that they're going to.
Do you handle the one in Bountiful on Fridays as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Do the food trucks pay you then to be a part of your network?
Not initially. So the idea is that we don't charge any food trucks that we're not making more money than we're charging. And so there's no like entry fee or anything like that. Generally, mostly across the board, it's just a 10% of their sales. So if they don't do well, then we don't do well. If they do really well, then it keeps our intentions aligned with them, which is really nice.
Okay.
great. I think that sounds great. Thank you for being here. I'm glad that you guys are partnering. Any other questions, especially thinking about your events? I don't know if it would fit for you. Maybe in the summer.
Actually, yeah.
Yours would be a great one.
Yeah,
so it's a morning event.
I was thinking if you partnered with Bountiful that we maybe should do different ones on a Monday that show up on Friday. When do you know that schedule of who's going to be at Bountiful on Friday?
So we, depending on the food truck, some trucks fill up really quickly.
Uh-huh.
So like Yoshi's is one of our top truck. They,
okay.
Their schedule gets filled really quickly. So we might schedule them for the whole year. And then we like to keep the variety though. So, and also we keep a database of their popularity, reliability, anything that we can measure to make sure that we're getting the right food trucks for the right situations.
Okay.
So, I mean, the idea is that we switch out. We don't have the same food truck going every time. It's a variety every time.
What I like, they do, they were telling us too, so like they can send trucks that serve quicker. So like some trucks, was it better to take a minute or something?
Oh yeah, that's one of the big things that we measure is if you can do 100 people per hour or 400 people, that makes a big difference for events for sure.
Do you have some trucks that do hot chocolate or like hot drinks?
There's some coffee.
We do
trucks.
A race in the fall
that
would be better to have hot stuff and not a ton of stuff because it's really pretty early morning. There are some that do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so we have 300 trucks registered. We worked with 160 last year. There's almost anything that you can think of food trucks-wise, yeah.
I don't know if it would fit for your event. Probably not.
I'm not sure if it would.
So really, I think you and the Halloween 3K are the ones that they would really fit with.
And you guys don't... Just because you might not think it's a good fit, we don't want to do it if it's not good for you too. So feel free to bounce ideas off of us. If we don't think that food trucks are the best fit for you, we'll tell you or not. We're not just trying to stick them anywhere that they'll fit.
So how do we contact you?
I have some business cards here. I'm not dropping everything on the ground. Just take one down, one, pass it around, or I could collect emails or anything like that, but I've just figured... If I just brought some business cards, it'd be easiest.
Yeah. I got that.
So we have those two events that I think those are the two that we would want to do them with. And so what's the next step to start exploring that?
So
just email you here.
Yeah, you can email me.
Thank you.
It might be easiest just to fill out a form on our website.
Okay.
And then that gives most of the relevant information that we can get started. And then we'll give you a call. Just say that you met with Elliot at North Salt Lake and I can... And it'll be redirected to me, and I can follow up with you.
Great. Any other questions? Thank you for being here. That's really helpful.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to work with
and
you
guys. I'm glad for the food truck nights this summer. We tried those a little bit last year, and they worked really well. I think it's going to be great. Okay. You're welcome to stay as long as you want and to have as much pizza as you'd like.
I got worried a little bit when they usually don't dig in unless it's going to be like a long meeting.
It is going to be a long
pizza
meeting.
Pizza means a long meeting.
It does mean, yep, that's exactly what it means.
We don't usually get food, so that's why we did because we're so
we almost never have food, just so you know. this is not a representation of how
it
is. You're welcome. Would you like a soda? Can I pass something down?
Oh, I would love a root beer.
Soda.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so let's start back up at the top. Your volunteer hours, if you have not sent them to me, please send them to me. I have yours. You don't have yours.
I don't know if I sent it.
I can send it to you. Just send it to me by email. And then also your event overviews. So I just gave Rachel's mine for the Kite Festival, and I sent an example by email as well. It doesn't have to be really intense. But just a basic idea so that when somebody else takes over, we can hand it to them and they can at least get a basic idea of what they're doing. You know how daunting it was to start something new. Yes,
yeah.
I did. Okay. For our 2018 annual report, I want to brainstorm for just a minute about topics to include in that. I looked over David's report that he prepares, and we are going to have a section of that report to go to the city council. His report is very graphic. There are boxes that just kind of have topics that he reports on. Yeah, it's really great. So I wanted to brainstorm with this group what you think those topics ought to be. I put, like, we should have events. These are the events that we did and volunteer hours. Maybe decisions made, like we chose to support the fence rebuild at Mathis Park or things like that. And then anything else? What do you think those main categories would be? And then David, in this department, if you have suggestions for what those should be, chime in as well.
I like it visual. I can't speak for the city council, but Stan can chime in. I don't think they want to
see. I like visuals.
What does the city council want to know from us to show what we've been doing?
I think pictures always work good for me.
That's what I was going to say. I think the visuals.
Lots of pictures.
Charts and things that just show.
And just showing what people are doing. Captions on pictures always work for me.
Should we try having like a number, coming up with a number of how many people attended the events?
Yeah, if you got attendance numbers, well, if you have.
Yeah.
We
think your service
we
hours would be good to let them know.
But if you have a picture and it shows a bunch of people there, you can put on the caption,
right.
You know, how many people and any other stuff, and you don't have to. That way, you don't have to read a lot. You know, some of us just like looking at pictures.
That's how we have to put it together. Well, the way you do it, and the reason that it's put together the way it is it's kind of like a yearbook.
Right.
It's kind of the way we look at it too, because we like it's nice to be able to go back and look what we did that year. So we try to do it as kind of a historical thing as well for us. So it's not just
okay.
For the city council.
Oh, okay. That's good to think about as well. Is there anything in addition to our component in that 2018 annual report that the city council would like us to report on?
I don't know. It sounds like you're doing a good job. I mean, I don't know specifically other than the different events and
I think it'd be cool to do kind of like a timeline type thing where you just have a picture or two from every event and then
like throughout the year.
If you have numbers and, you know, attendance or whatever, any stats to go with it.
So when do you finalize your report for that?
So I think they're leaning, I don't know, they never really came to any conclusion on the budget stuff. I like to have it ready for that. So I'm probably going to
start by mid-March?
Next week, yeah. So I probably, I need to probably get your stuff in the next week or two.
Okay.
You know what might be fun is to have pictures of everybody that participates and a little bit about them.
That's actually a really good idea because if
like
we
the board,
do,
huh? You mean like the actual board?
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Board and, you know, a little bit of information about each person and what they enjoy doing, or maybe some comment they want to make or something. That's always nice.
That's
I like
a really
that.
Good idea. We do that with our staff. We have pictures of all
yeah,
our staff.
Yeah, I saw that.
I like that idea. It's a good idea.
Okay. We have a board opening, and maybe someone trying us out. But what I wanted to talk about is just to remind us that we have a board opening, and actually, we are going to have two board openings. I got a text from Sarah today that she is going to step down from the board, Sarah Sargent. So we'll have two board openings, replacing Nola and replacing Sarah. Both of those women were not in charge of activities that come up quickly, so I don't feel a lot of panic to fill these positions quickly. I really would like to get somebody that is a good fit for us, but I want to invite everyone to think about somebody they know that they think would like to be involved here. I like the idea of recruiting people that we know we're going to want to work with, but we're also very grateful when we get our appointments, and we welcome them with open arms.
Well, I plan on in the next council meeting.
Okay, great.
For my appointment that I have, I don't know who's doing it.
Who was Nola was your appointment? Okay, I think it's James, but I don't know that for sure. All right, I want to review from our last meeting. I don't know if I brought enough of these for everyone that is here. I don't know if you care though. You pass those around. I want to create a marketing plan, an annual marketing plan that we then operate from at our November meeting. We'll revisit this plan and we'll make adjustments for the next year. So we're trying to flesh this out for this year, and this is a draft of it, but as you can see, there are some empty places. So I created this based on our conversation at our last meeting, and I just want to review it. I want you to chime in if you feel like I've missed something that you want to make sure is here or if it's not represented correctly, and then we will simultaneously give you, Manuel, quite a bit of time to talk about our digital marketing update. So for the purpose, the NSL Parks and Arts Board 2019 marketing plan is designed to create and maintain a more consistent brand identity for our board, to increase awareness of the board and their events to city residents, and to, oh, I stopped there. So anything else we want to add in there, here's your chance. Our brand identity, marketing for our board and events centers around our belief that our city and our work as the Parts and Arts Board can be described as follows. We will strive for our events and decisions to reflect this. We are active, connected, artful, fun, and creative. Anything to add to that branding? Anything you'd like to add to that branding representing the city?
Doing a great job.
All right, so for our marketing plan, it's split into two sections, just our digital marketing and our print marketing. For the city website, information about the Parks and Arts Board and our volunteering, we want that to be streamlined and updated, and I am the board member assigned to that, and I have created, that I didn't hand out to you, but some detailed proposed changes to the city website. Based on what we talked about last week, or last month, this including a Parks and Arts own page, we need to change the name on the website and update that. And then we talked last time about having an event page separate for every single event. Yes, we're all still on board for that? Okay, so we'll propose those. And then a volunteer sign-up page that is for us, or it can be a link on our main page. And then making sure that we are, all of our information is updated in the community calendar. And then I just went through the website navigation so that I could see through all of the clicks how people find our information and just really streamline that so that we're everywhere we need to be. We don't need to go over that, but that is part of our marketing plan for the year and something we'll be working on. Okay, so Manuel.
Yeah.
Digital marketing update.
Yes, so I met with Linda to go over how the Facebook account is managed. We do have now have access to the to the ad creation, so we can create posts for the page. The understanding is that she will post them, so we can create them, and they'll live in the business account, and then she can go ahead and approve and post them for us. The other piece of that is, I'm working on creating a spreadsheet, just a Google sheet, that we can fill in all the different posts that we plan on doing throughout the year. So if it's an event, we should know like 6 weeks before we're going to want a post that says this, that uses this image, and just lay it all out for her. So that's super streamlined for her. She just has to go in, make sure that it looks right, and she can approve it.
Just like a calendar of ads,
exactly.
Ad campaigns.
Yeah. So I'm working on that. I can send that out in the next week or so to everyone on the board. But yeah, I think that'll help a ton in getting the word out for the events where we don't have to like send her an email, and it'll just be a lot quicker this
year.
So then the other piece of it, I have a Google Calendar that we all circulate also, that we can add events. I haven't seen the final calendar for the city
that we send out in the newsletter.
Yeah, I have the copy from the last meeting. Is that, did much change from that?
The one that I made?
Not really.
Yeah,
not much. She actually shrunk it down. It still looks pretty good.
Perfect. So what I'll do, I'll add all of these events to that Google Calendar. And
excellent.
That's a shared calendar that we could post on the website so that anyone in the city can go and just follow that calendar and add it to their calendars. We could share that on social media also. Just an easy way for people to always have access to the city calendar.
Very cool.
And then I have a photo drive also. I don't know if I shared that with anyone yet.
I haven't seen it.
You? Okay. So I'll send out an email this week with all these different links. The other one is a Google folder so that we can upload images from our events. That way it's in one spot. And that way, I mean, with this annual report, that would be a great place to pull from.
Yeah.
Just having all the images after an event, just upload all the images you have to the Google Drive, and then you should all have access to it for marketing or for any other thing that you need them for.
So one of the questions we had last time was the value of us having our own Facebook page.
Right, yeah, we will not.
Okay.
Continuing our own Facebook page.
Okay.
Now that we have access to the cities,
great.
That's really where the people already like and follow.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just streamline that.
So that one's going away then. Okay.
Are you an admin on that page?
Maybe. I think I am. Yeah.
Will you just delete it then?
I'll just make it private.
Great. And there are some photos there that you can move into the shared drive. But other than moving the photos to that shared drive, we don't need anything that's on that page. But.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm an admin for sure too, so I can also delete that.
Yeah, I think that'll really, just having that access to the city's business account, that way we can create those posts, that'll be really, really helpful.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and Linda's super excited to hand that piece off. That way she doesn't have to create the, the posts. It really will be on us to create the posts. And so I think if we fill out the calendar well enough in advance, then it'll be really easy just for everyone.
Great.
Just going into the summer with all the events.
And that will continue to be your assignment as well, right? Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. Okay, let's talk then about Instagram, which is Naomi. And then, but in our larger digital marketing plan, do we still want to have Instagram as a separate place? I think Instagram serves a different purpose.
In a sense, but I think it's, I haven't posted anything for 2 months.
That's okay, though. We haven't done anything for 2 months.
There's been a lot of businesses, North Salt Lake, Bountiful, Davis County, businesses that have followed us. So I think it's a good idea to continue it.
Okay.
Because we can really reach out and just create some of those connections where people might want to join in or, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't think it's a bad idea. And the younger the people are that live in North Salt Lake,
yeah,
the more they're going to be on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, versus Facebook. So
how would you best like that to operate? Do you want to just be in charge of what you're doing? Would you like us to all have access so that we can all be uploading when we have events? I mean, you could follow this ads calendar that Manuel has and post according to that.
Yeah, I mean, if we have the calendar already in place and we have images and, you know, everything is all set, that won't be an issue for me to do that. If everybody wants to post for their own event, that's
no, I don't mean that so much as general things around the city that we see. We talked about making sure that we include pictures of, like, the Parks Department employees and things like that. Do you want us to contribute to that, or do you want to just be in charge of that? I'm offering help. That's a better way for me to say that.
Well, I think, you know, if you, obviously, if you guys have, if you see something in the city that you're like, this definitely needs to go up, yeah, send it to me. And,
okay.
And let's,
but you still stay in charge of the posting?
Yeah, I have
if
no problem
if you're okay
doing
with that, I would love that.
I have no problem doing that.
Okay. So we will just send send ideas or photos to you, but...
And that Google Drive will be a good source.
Absolutely.
That is a great...
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then just make sure everybody has my number so you can send me a picture and let me know, you know, this is what happened at this park today, and just then we can kind of showcase, you know, our city, so...
Alright. Thank you for doing that.
Of course.
Do you have anything else you want to add then that I should put in the marketing plan about Instagram?
I think the only thing, if you guys have a specific photo that you want for your event, if you can just make sure that we have it in plenty of time, like you were saying, 6 weeks would be at least 6 weeks. And the dates and the times, we just need to make sure we have all of that ahead of time so that we're not scrambling at the last minute and then, you know, it turns into a, you know, I hate those last minute things. So
yeah.
We know.
The earlier the better is great. So.
Okay, perfect. Anything else then about Instagram? We talked last week about email lists and operating our own email list, and then we were unsure if we should be piggybacking on the city's email list. Is that something that you ended up talking about with Linda at all?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so that is a question mark that we have. The city has an email list, which I don't actually think they use almost at all. Do you know anything if they use it? Do you know if they use it?
Yeah, I get the emails.
City emails?
I get city emails
like,
sometimes. Yeah, there's a notifier. You can sign up for it, and then it'll notify you, and you can pick the things you want to be notified of.
Yeah,
There's a whole bunch of lists, and some of them are like, you know, streets are going to be closed or whatever, and some are events and activities.
I think that some of them are, you can get them as text messages.
I
mean, and stuff
I get text messages. I don't get emails.
Yeah, I got yelled at from us.
Is the text message the same? Is the email, is the email have much content, or is it kind of just an announcement?
I can show you some. It's kind of just a
link. We should, that's something we should promote on social media. Just to say, hey, sign up for...
Let me see, because I'm sure I get probably one a week at least.
City.
Like, I get all the news from the city's Facebook page.
Yeah. By email?
No.
No, going to Facebook, yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too. That's how I do it, too.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find.
So as a group, do we want to use this system? Who is behind those
Linda's
emails?
Behind
so email, okay.
I could reach out to her and ask.
Okay.
And get a feel for what it's used for and if that's something we can plug ourselves into.
Yeah.
She'll post anything.
Anything you give her, within reason, she'll post out there. And it's pretty easy. Just send her an email and say, here it is.
Well, and that's something we can add to, like, the calendar. We'd say an email goes out.
Yes. Okay, I love that. So as a group, we send out, like, I would love it to be kind of like a newsletter where, like, once a month we say, hey, here's what's happening with Parks and Arts, and also call for volunteers. And so as you talk to Linda, will you say our plan is to send once a month email that goes maybe to all city residents, but we could segment it. If
anyone on the list, I think.
Yeah.
Okay,
so.
I'll ask her how big the list is and
how active it is now. Because I don't know how active it is. I just know I get them. Oh, I can't remember how she sends them. I got a whole bunch of Google alerts here. But I don't think it says Google alert. It says, it's from Google. So, but
Linda's happy to do anything. If we can prep it as much as we can and send it to her, like, ready to go.
Okay.
She'll take
okay. So the question then when you ask Linda is if we can tap into that already existing email list system. And being sensitive to adding to her workload, but giving her advance notice for sure, or if she would prefer that we create and operate our own email list. So that would be the question, and thank you for doing that. Okay, logo. Rachel, our graphic designer in-house, has a logo that she is going to show us. We can talk about it for just a little bit, but I'd really like, unless you have stuff. Oh!
Perfect.
Great.
I was like, I only printed one. We can pass it.
I saw that you added North Salt Lake to it.
Yes. I totally spaced during that. But
I made copies. Do you want me to
Oh, my goodness. Sally really is. That is true.
If you ask me, my opinion is the one on the right because it doesn't seem so heavy and weighted. But
as the one on the left?
Yes. But there would be times and places to use the one on the left as well. So,
yeah, I like the idea of having both.
Yeah.
So that, I liked that.
So if we did both, then maybe I would switch the arts to the same font as the one on the other side so they look more cohesive instead
Parks
of two separate logos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I can do a mock-up of that. And
great.
See if that's, I mean...
Other feedback or suggestions? We would love to hear your opinions, too, citizen and resident. Let us know what you're thinking. Naomi, do you have any suggestions or ideas?
That's great. Yeah.
From the other one, I like using the sunburst from the city, but I also like that not being the focal point, mm-hmm. that it's kind of a note of it. It's not...
a lot bigger, and the texts were smaller, so...
So other than that, I like it. And I like the green, and I like the orange-yellow color. With regard to colors, do we have to pick one? Can we use both colors? David had an idea of like kind of changing the colors for the events. I don't know if we want to do that or not. David, if you want to sound in. Do you have any opinions?
I like having the one color.
One color?
Yeah.
Would you pick green over the... I would probably do green because we're the parks.
I think Ryan replied saying that too.
Oh, he did say that. That's right.
Skip to the planning commission now.
Okay. Thank you for being here, Stan.
All right. Thanks. Can I just add one thing?
Yes.
I need an event added to your calendar September.
Is it September 7th?
I don't know.
Get in the river?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. It's right there.
Okay, good. All right. I didn't know if you had it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So are we ready to commit then? I'm ready to commit. I'm ready to commit.
Let's do.
Yes, to the green one. I think there are two here. What about this like half shape versus the full circle? Any opinions about that?
Seeing it big, I like the full circle.
Okay. I'm in. And then you said you're changing the word arts to match the font at the other side.
Yeah, I'll change that and see if it's still.
Okay. We are officially adopting then a logo for our board. It's only taken like 14 months. all in favor? Board members have to vote. Just say yes. Great. All those options work. So moved. Thank you for doing that. And if you'll just Do the changes that you see. Also, I defer to your expertise with that.
Okay.
So whatever else you need want to do, and then we can upload it to the shared drive, and then we can all have access to it. Okay. Print marketing. We will continue to use the city newsletter to share information. We will buy and then use throughout the city banners for each event. The Parks Department will place the banners around the city, although I know they feel ambivalent about that. We will no longer be doing flyers as a main method of advertising this year. And we will do a printed calendar that was already included in the newsletter, and then a shorter version that we will distribute at the Easter Egg Hunt and Kite Festival. Anything else to add about print marketing?
As a citizen, I really liked that. That was nice.
Oh, great.
We cut it off and put it in our closet.
Exactly what we wanted. Thank you. All right. Marketing done. This is a budget meeting. So now we're getting into our budget. I have these calendars for us just as a point of information. So just take one and pass them around. Just to give us a sense of the timeline of the year. So what we do in January, February, March, you can see it starts to pick up in the summer. Fall is really our busy time, though. And this also will give you plenty of notice about all of the board meetings that we reviewed and moved some of them last time. And I also included that at the bottom of our agenda just so that you have plenty of notice. I'm not great at getting agendas out early, so none of the meetings should surprise you when they're coming. Don't wait for the agenda to feel reminded about the meeting. That will feel too late. Okay, so let's go through our parks and arts budget. There are three different budgets we're going to talk about tonight. First is the budget that we maintain and operate for our events in this board. That budget is $14,000 for the year. The second budget we're going to talk about later on is the fiscal year 2019 budget allocation that Ryan secured for us that was $100,000. The Mathis fence, has it already started the repair work? So that has been earmarked, that's something that we wanted it to be. And that we'll talk about that after we go through this line item detail. And then we also, in this meeting, are going to talk about a recommendation that Ryan will take to budget discussions with the City Council for fiscal year 2020, so that he can get the same pot of us, that $100,000 or more is what we're probably gonna ask for. Okay, so let's go through the line item for the Parks and Arts budget. Kite Festival this year is May 11th, Rachel is in charge. The budget last year was $1,250. The actual expense for that was $1,500. So for 2019, we're gonna up all the budgets. So let's say 2000. Well, Rachel, I'm gonna ask you if you think that's enough money, but I know you don't have any sense of that. So we'll just pencil that in for now. The Summer Trail Series has no budget. I'm not exactly sure what I would ask for that, so we'll pause for that. The Liberty Fest and the Car Show, I found out today, no longer are coming out of our budget, so that is extra money for us. They are falling under the whole Liberty Fest budgeting. Sunset Concert Series, then. Last year was budgeted $1,000, and you only spent $525 last year.
Look at you. That's awesome.
So, but there's no prize for underspending. You just spend it all.
All those were booked before I got here.
Yes. So. do you feel like that's sufficient, or do you want to request more?
Spend more.
Let's do more. Do you want to do $1,500 this year and see how it goes? Okay. I don't think if Brent spent anything on the master course, he did not submit for reimbursement.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
So let's continue on with that $500 for him.
One thing I did talk with Linda about also was kind of channeling the master course through this board. And so I'll be working with Brent on kind of making that happen so that he can work with the city through us.
Is he going directly to the city to
answer? Yeah, he's working,
answer?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay.
All the things that he's asking is going to Linda. She was just like,
great.
It might make more sense for that to be part of the...
Yeah, I thought it was already working that way.
I'm going to prepare the master course.
You are?
Yes.
That's fantastic. Have you started? Are you rehearsing right now?
Yeah, we rehearse every Thursday night.
And do you have a concert schedule set up?
Yes.
We have been wondering about that. Do you know?
Well, I noticed on the calendar
when
I looked at it, there
is
one March 11th. And then I think he's decided to change them from Saturday nights from the city hall to Monday nights up at Eaglewood. So I think the couple of dates he gave us is a little different.
Yeah, we weren't sure. So, but you are having a concert on March 11th?
They did ask us last week if we wanted a fall concert, and they said yes, and a Christmas concert.
So. And I can work with him.
Yeah, he's probably going to need to talk, because I know he booked something up at Eaglewood, and that's is actually the city doesn't control that.
So if we were to book something there, we would pay the rental fee as well.
So you can maybe get it for free sometimes, depends, but if he's got weddings or if he's got things going on up there, they can't just book it. I know that, and I think something was probably already said to him about it.
Okay.
He told us the reason why he wanted that is because we performed for the North Salt Lake City employees in December, and he loved the grand piano, and he loved the echo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something, and I can reach out to him to talk about that.
it's through the George that does the all the food services up there. That's his space, basically, so it's not... He rents it from the city, so he's under contract with the city.
But if they chose, they could use their budget to pay to rent the space for their concerts if they wanted to. Okay, so does that sound, do you want to start with 500? Shoot for 500 for this year? We're pretty much going to be really under budget. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'll talk to him to see what the actual expenses are.
Okay,
for
and
year.
The numbers we come up with right now are not hard and fast. We are, line item numbers do not matter almost at all if we don't go over our total budget. So if we need to like move things around during the year, that's completely fine. This is just to give you a sense. I know as you're starting to plan your events, you really need to have a sense of, well, how much money am I spending here? Okay, so 500 again for the master chorus. NSL reads, the budget last year was 2,000 and what was spent was $2,102. Well done. No, that's well done. Did that feel tight?
Yeah, it did a little.
Yeah, I thought that it might. So let's bump yours up and let's start shoot for 3,000 this year. And do you want to? I got your email about Jen Nelson. My goodness, her speaker fee is really high.
It's okay. I have someone.
You do?
I've got Brandon Mull.
What? Mm-hmm. Does he have a speaker fee?
No.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. How do you spell that last name? M U L L.
He's kind of a big deal.
He's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
She's my friend, though. That's fantastic. Good job. So did you have the theme?
I just confirmed today with his lady, whoever she is that handles his stuff. But I think we're going to do the Five Kingdoms series is what we're going to go off of. So it's still sort of a fantasy thing, but it's not specifically dragons like it was last year.
Fantastic. That's going to be a really great event.
Yeah.
That might be an event we need to consider if we'll fit here.
Possibly.
Because he will draw a lot of people.
Yes, he will. I told my son, and he's losing his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He will draw a lot of people. So think about other options we could do is Orchard Elementary or Foxborough Elementary.
Okay.
Potentially Eaglewood, but we might have to rent that space. We would have to rent the elementary school space as well, but I know their rental fee is like $60.
Okay.
Just have that in mind.
I can reach out to the schools as well and see what options we have. So.
Very cool. All right, anything else you want to talk about? Okay.
Not yet.
So Halloween 3K is likely an open event chair. The budget was $1,200 previously, and Sarah spent $984, so she was well under budget for that. So we'll bump that one up as well. And then I wanted to allocate a specific budget to do all of our banners at the beginning of the year, but I have no idea how much they cost. Do you know how much they cost, David, large print banners?
So we're going to talk. We got some numbers today.
Okay.
My website coming up later. I can talk about it.
Okay. Well, that's the last thing that banners. And then I just put other here. There were a few other line item things, like our dinner from our November meeting, and then a plaque that was made for Bruce. Anything else, though, for our board that we should be putting in our budget for the year?
Will you quickly go through the new budgets for each event?
So Kite Festival, I said 2,000. Summer Trails, I'm not sure. I have to think harder about that. Liberty Fest, both options are zeros because those are being moved. We said 1,500.
Right.
And then Master Chorus 500.
Okay.
you're welcome to move either, like,
yep,
switch that money around if you want to. NSL reads 3,000, and then I just put for the Halloween 3K 1,500, and then that's it. That puts us well below $14,000. So are there other items we want to add in? We'll do banners this year, which will be a big chunk of money. It's a one-time expense. Anything else?
You said it's a total of 14,000. Yeah, we're at 8,500 right now.
Yeah, we're well under what...
Something different.
Okay, well, we can table that,
yeah,
and we can think, and we'll revisit it at our next meeting. So think about if there's like a one-time event,
yeah,
if there's an additional event we want to pioneer this year, or some, not one-time event, but one-time purchase. Oh, well, I guess we've already, you already have your sound system purchased. We have that all done, right? That was something we had talked about for a long time. So sound systems in place. Okay, Public Works update. David.
Alrighty. Let's see. I think I got everything all mixed up from what we... So, we're going to start with... just to kind of brief you, one of the briefing on what happened up at Tunnel Springs. Let's see.
Is this from the camera?
Ago. Yeah, so this is... this is the culprits that we caught. This is kind of an ugly situation, but...
So it was two cars that did it?
Yeah, it was just one.
Just the truck?
They jumped in the truck and went out and caused all sorts of...
Out on the grass field.
Yeah, they were just doing donuts, but... So it was this last Saturday. It was the Saturday before. If you guys remember, that Saturday was like the warmest day we've had in months.
Yeah.
So all the snow melted, grass was soft, and then it snowed that night. Mm-hmm. And then these guys went to town, so... As you can see by the pictures, they did some damage. There's a...
Whoa. Isn't that a cliff there off the edge?
I wish.
Isn't that on the left? Isn't that a drop-off?
That's T.J. Riley.
No, it's not. It's just an open field.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, we've got a... This bid, we put this on, it was it's done on $132,000 potentially in damage that might need to be.
That's unbelievable.
The bid we got today is significantly less. I'm wondering if it's going to be somewhere in the middle, but
yeah,
we'll see what the, it's tough to really gauge it right now. They're kids, they're 17, and it kind of sucks because you're basically facing a third degree felony if they decide to pursue it that way. So we'll see what happens, but. Hopefully not for their sake. You know, we don't want these kids getting this on the record for something moment of stupidity. But
so would the cost to repair that come out of the budget allocation from us? So this is a separate budget that's not even part of what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think they're working with the groups to see what they can figure out. I'm not sure where that's at. Probably shouldn't speak to it, but. Yeah, it'll get paid for some way or another, not out of what we've already budgeted. So,
okay.
So I don't figure
that's
crap.
That's really crappy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you guys.
So there we go with that. So a couple things that we want to talk about. So we really haven't spent anything that we had put in this budget year yet.
That 100,000.
Yes, we actually have, I think, more than that. But we can talk. I think we need to kind of figure out kind of where we want to go with things. And if you guys remember, I think it was in our October meeting, we kind of discussed a bunch of stuff, but we never really came
mm-hmm.
to conclusions. We knew we had a little while because we weren't going to do any work in the winter. Well, now it's go time for us. So,
mm-hmm.
So we kind of wanted to throw out a few things to you guys and let you see things we talked about. And I know Ryan was big on this, so to me, I think you guys need to talk to your friends, your neighbors, and figure out the resurfacing. Again, they will not repair the surface up there anymore. I threw the pictures in to show you guys how bad it's getting up there. TJ ran out and took these today. You can see it's just They're just trashing it.
Yeah. They're bad.
It's just getting worse and worse.
And those little holes, even though they're like 3 or 4 inches deep, that will roll somebody's ankle if a little kid runs through that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been our opinion that it's needed to be replaced for a couple years. We took it to the council initially, and they did. They wanted the pour in place. We don't really care. It's your guys' money. We just need it. We need it fixed. We need it to be an acceptable product. The synthetic turf has the advantage to the synthetic turf. The reason we've suggested it is based on the price, and it holds up better than the
longevity is.
Does it get hot?
It's the same.
They all get hot.
It's pretty.
It won't get hotter
same.
Than what the pour in place would do.
Is that you can replace that in sections, can't you?
Yeah, it's a carpet basically, but it's not like. The problem with the pour in place is that they can just dig, and as it cracks, just the heat and cold,
so
it cracks, and then they can just peel it up just like that. They can just keep going and going to where the synthetic turf, they can't. I mean, unless the kids are packing razor blades and, you know.
You never know.
So, I guess, you know, again, though, our and this has probably gone up a little bit in the price since we actually bid it out, but. The pour in place, what we need to also consider is it's about, I think it was $12,000 to $14,000 each year in the overlay on it too. So I mean, again, my kids don't play there. Your kids do. We want something that is for us as we look at it, our paradigm is always gonna be from the maintenance
mm-hmm.
and to meet that expectation. But we need a suggestion. I think it needs to really kinda come from you know, the citizens, what they actually want to see at this park. If they want to spend the extra money on the pour in place, that's great. That's fine. We don't care. Yeah, it's your money. So,
wasn't there another option? It was like a puzzle.
Yeah, it was just good.
That
yeah.
was tiles.
The tiles are still there, and I actually don't know why.
Well, and they're about the same.
They're basically the same.
They're about the same price as the pour in place.
But the maintenance was cheaper, wasn't it?
Yes, but it's the problem with the tiles is they expand and contract. So much that I've heard goods and bads, but overall people say synthetic turf is by far the best way.
And then I think I asked this last time, but the fall rating is the same for the pour in place
as
it is
yeah,
for
it has
the
to be the
turf.
Same. Yeah.
Any opinions? Board members, citizen?
Is the blue the pour in place? Sorry, I wasn't
yes.
here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be any color.
I should have, yeah. They could have gotten millions of colors.
Oh, okay. So why? What's causing the damage now? Is it weather or is it
weather
humans?
And humans.
Mm.
I'm not. Do you have a sense of which is more? Is it
well,
more
I mean, it's
picking
it's,
at it?
It's about served its life, for one.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I mean, it's kids come and they see it cracks, right? It's like a big,
that makes me crazy.
They pour it just like, almost like concrete. And then it never stays together like all the time. That's why you do a surfacing every year. But it creates cracks, and so kids get their little fingers in there, start pulling, and pretty soon it becomes a big mess.
And that wouldn't happen.
And Elise is not there enough to yell at everybody.
Yeah, but when I am, I do.
Yeah. So no, that wouldn't happen with the AstroTurf.
So is the pour in place there now?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm following.
Yeah.
So my suggestion on this would be we probably by next month need to kind of have
a
with
decision
a lot
made.
Of these we need to probably make some decisions so we can start.
I'm leaning towards the green turf.
I mean, yeah, as far as maintenance and safety goes, it
safety is my number one thing.
Exactly.
And if they're equivalent, then
exactly.
I feel like it becomes less safe when the pour in place is
correct.
Yeah,
that's
it's cracked. So
yeah. we can't keep up with it. To
yeah.
be honest, like the damage that occurs so much.
Mm-hmm.
That even if we're patching it, closing it down until it dries,
mm-hmm.
we can't keep up with it. Like, you know, we'll patch
yeah.
one, we go back next week, there's another hole. Go back, patch. Like, it's just, we can't.
It's constant,
and so.
Yeah.
So let's tentatively turf.
Yeah.
I will solicit citizen feedback in the neighborhood, and I will come back next month with that information. But as a tentative decision of this board, we support the turf.
And I know Ryan, I think he maybe his opinion has maybe changed a little bit. I can't speak for him, but I know he was really for the pour in place before, but I think, I mean, the price.
The cost is really
yeah,
staggering.
It is. And that's the only reason we've suggested it, because again, we don't really care as much. We just.
Does this cost come out of your regular budget, or does this come out of that money?
So
that
we budgeted some money for the turf last year, so there is a little bit of money in there.
Enough to cover it if we did the turf?
It'd be close.
I think
okay.
You said
great.
40, 48. Pretty close.
Yeah, it was a weird amount.
Yeah,
it was like really exact, like $46,363 or something.
We got to write down.
I hate talking budget because I don't remember numbers. And on the record, I'll just sound like an idiot because I don't.
Is the turf going to be the same turf that is under the
football fields?
Oh, so it's going to be longer than what's under that swing thing on Deer Hollow Park?
So that is.
Is that going to be the same? Or
no, it's similar to that. It's similar to that. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's more like the high school
grassy
football fields and like the U's football.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have different options to choose from. I mean, synthetic turf nowadays has come a long ways. It doesn't. In fact, they put in like the thatch color in it. I mean, they put in so much that if you put it up to normal turf, it's very hard to tell the difference.
Okay. Unless you go red.
Yeah.
Yeah, I... No.
Or blue.
Or Smurf turf.
And that seems like it would get hotter, the darker colors. Yeah, grass just feels like it would be cool. I know it's not grass, but it makes me think of grass. Okay.
Okay, so we'll make decisions next month, I guess, along the stuff.
All else being equal, though, we're a turf. Kay. Unless we get pitchforks.
And that's not out of the 100,000.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the sooner the better on it. Just like David's saying, just because we have to close it in order to take all the other stuff out. So
how about I'll do that this week then, and then by next Friday,
yeah,
kind of, unless we get pitchforks, I think that we will just move forward with the turf. So by next Friday, I'll.
I just don't want to see it being closed when we.
Yeah, we'd like to.
Things get booked up. I just don't want to have it closed when.
It'd be nice to get things done before Splash Pad opens.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing I actually just want to talk to you guys real quick. The mayor actually suggested we throw it to you guys. This, is, again, has nothing to do with your budgets.
Mm-hmm.
This is just stuff we're dealing with. Obviously, with these issues we've been having at Tunnel Springs, I don't know how many of you guys have been up there at night. It's
not
pitch
at
black.
Night.
It's pitch black. I worry.
There are no lights there?
Not really.
Just one on the restroom.
Right. But
yeah.
Parking lot, nothing.
So with... What we're actually doing, just so you guys understand, is we have to do a trench and run conduit up to here, because we're going to be doing a camera at this location for the pinch point to keep catching these. It's the keep doing this stuff.
You did good filtering that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
The end. So where's the camera currently?
There's a couple right now. But what the problem we have is we don't always catch the stupid stuff that's going on because. Luckily, we bottlenecked these kids in. We had some barricades and stuff, so they actually drove over down this. Like, they barricaded everything. Yeah, they tried hard to get in there. And we caught them. But we need kind of the camera just to catch license plates and stuff, people coming in and out. Because we've just had a ridiculous amount of damage that keeps happening up here. So, long story short... we threw this to the council last week, and they wanted me to bring it to you guys. This isn't actually accurate. This is John and I actually just initially throwing stuff on. There was a for coverage to cover the lighting of this entire kind of section right here. Since we have to already run this conduit, it just makes sense to run power. So we'll have access to run lighting. Council suggested just one light here, one light here, one light here. Thoughts, concerns?
What was their reasoning for that? Cost?
They think it's too much, even though the full coverage would include, it was more than I even had here. I can't remember. I should have actually printed, put that on the slide as well. I think it was like 9. Do you remember?
That the one for Mountain States Lighting?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
They have a lighting expert. The lighting expert does it so that, because we asked them to not do anything that was invasive of what the neighbors would, so it would get into their backyard or anything. We want a little light to spill over the trail because I always worry about, you know, people running or whatever, mugging somebody or whatever else. But so it would really just go this way, and it's not very invasive.
The lights. So those are backyards, right?
Correct. Ken's actually going to be speaking with these neighbors, which you can guarantee what their reaction to having lights in their backyard is going to be, even though it really is the light will not shine in their backyards. It will be a light.
If I knew somebody kept vandalizing the park behind my house, though, I might be happy to have lights in my backyard.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak for them. So, but while we're looking at this, we also kind of were given the task to maybe figure out where else maybe lights would be valuable. I know that there's been requests for the tennis courts. It's quite expensive to run conduit and stuff through here because we've got so much stuff in the ground and it's just...
Could you go the other way, under the street?
We would probably be able to push back this way and then come and maybe get lights to here. We haven't done any really research on this yet. This is kind of fresh in our heads as well, so we just kind of wanted your guys' thoughts.
Okay, so this is the number five policy discussion that I wanted to have. Technically, throughout the entire city, all parks are closed at dark. So there's a policy discussion about, do we then, providing lights in the parks, especially for the tennis courts, seems to indicate that we anticipate people will be there using the park at night. Mm-hmm. So do we want to support the existing policy that all parks close at dark, or do we want to move the city into the direction of, we also use parks at night, there's tennis, there's, I don't know, basketball courts at Legacy Park. What are your ideas, board members and citizen? There are pros and cons, of course.
Right.
Of course. Can you close at like 10?
We can.
Or 11?
Like a time
instead of...
Are there any parks that have a time that says they're closed? Or are they all just at dark?
They're pretty much all posts.
Mm-hmm.
But is it at dark or is it a time?
I think it's 11.
Oh, okay. So the current city policy is that they are available to use at night until 11. Okay. And I like that idea. So as long as that's in place. So then the question along with that policy discussion is then, do we want to support it, installing lights at the parks so that they can be utilized at night, which I think sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. And for safety reasons.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the official question? What should we be exactly voting on so you have our support?
I think just maybe if you guys as citizens, what you guys think as far as would you support lights on the tennis court? Do you think we need to try to get more lights around the park? In fact, so this kind of jumps into my next conversation with this park. So bear with me and we'll come back to this, okay?
Okay.
So with the issues that we're dealing with here, the other question that's coming up, and I wasn't tasked to bring this to you guys, but we're kind of in the early stages, and my estimate is that they'll say, hey, go ask them what they think about this. So I'm asking for kind of just maybe...
Preemptively.
Yeah, preemptively here. But with the issues we've been having, this park, we used to close it in the winter.
With that gate up there?
So basically all we did up here was there's no gate right now, but we were just walking off because
all winter?
What you see that happened last.
Yeah.
We had just stupid stuff like this all the time. And there's really not much for people to do up there other than walk a dog or, you know. So our kind of take was before, well, you know, they can park there and walk in if they want still, then they're not driving around the park. But I get that City Council wanted us to open it back up because they want people to be able to use the park, which I understand. I understand that logic. So we're kind of throwing out a couple ideas. And again, this is just us really early in this, maybe talking about doing a gate, maybe talk about, we even think about doing maybe an electronic gate where it could close at 10 o'clock, you know, or 11 o'clock or whatever.
Well, let me stop you right there. I think because we closed it, but we allowed... The pathways were plowed. So
the
basically, yes, you just couldn't pull your car in there. So it's not like you're necessarily closing the entire park. You're closing from vehicles from where that gate would be and still allowing walkers, joggers, whatever, to still use the path. So not totally closing the park.
It's a good point.
So what would the cost be of an electronic gate?
So this gate is $5,000. How much is the a gate? All that would be probably.
I would guess between 15,000 and 20,000
for an electric one.
Yeah.
If it's not electric, that means somebody has to go manually close it at 10 or 11 at night, right?
Yeah.
Well, in the winter, you'd just keep it closed.
I don't. Yeah.
The whole winter.
It would just depend. I mean, I'm sure there'd be a downside because you'd have to have it so that there'd be pressure pads so people could get out. So there'd still be probably ways for people to manipulate and get in the park late at night. But, you know, like everything like this, what does it do? Keeps honest people out. Is anyway, so just throwing these, let me kind of brainstorm with you guys throughout.
Okay.
So this is option one, just shut the whole thing down type thing. Second idea we kind of have is to, again, we're trying to keep people mostly off the fields, but maybe allow access to the area. Right now, we currently have barricades that block people from coming down this dirt road.
They're water barricades, just temporary stuff.
But we just put them there in the winter because, holy cow, you guys, seriously, how many times do you think they drove on them?
This I don't know, 15 different times.
Yeah, they just go out.
Wait,
minimum, easy.
Yeah. Like different people?
Yeah.
A ton
just
of people are doing
people.
This?
We deal with just, again, like we've showed you guys in the past, the stupid stuff we deal with. Like, it baffles us normal people.
Is this happening at any other parks?
No.
No, I don't know why.
Is that the nature of, like, the landscape there?
I think it's just...
We've had problems
it's
with
dark.
This for...
It's really dark.
Yeah.
I
many
know.
Years.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Hmm.
So they,
stark.
I'm sure they think, oh, we're
yeah,
not
yeah.
going to get caught because there's...
Yeah.
No,
you go back
no
to this parking lot
yeah.
right here.
That, yeah.
It's just a gravel area. And kids will, they do donuts all year long in the gravel.
Does that have to be regraded when that happens?
Yeah. And it's,
oh,
I don't, it's pretty tough to do too, so.
Are there any signs? I know this is, I know signs, but are there any signs that say no cars in the grass?
yeah, I know. You shouldn't have to have those signs.
Don't drive your cars on the tennis courts, just in case. Okay,
other
so fencing.
Other possible option would be just add a gate and basically do it so we can kind of close this down maybe when we want, when we don't want.
So that's the trailhead, though, for Bonneville, right?
But you
the
still
gravel.
Have access to park on the parking lot that we plow. It kind of what the concept behind this would do is it keeps people from coming down and getting out there and creating havoc again. And then we do fencing kind of in the front that just kind of blocks that off. So that's again you're looking at just to do a simple gate, $5,000, and then this was to match the fencing, the split rail that we did last year. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Because last year the issue was
they climbed up over the mountain.
People were climbing this mountain in their
no, you can see
it.
It
was
in their cars?
Right there at the bottom, David.
Yeah,
you can
ATCs
see where they were.
Probably
they'd go down that and up the mountain.
They were just
they go over the top.
Just destroying the property up there. It was unreal. So
see
we
a couple
ran,
trails in there.
We built a fence last year that ran all the way back to here somewhere. So anyway, so this option basically is just kind of trying to keep this sheltered off, and then the gate is kind of, it's kind of the same thing we've got right now. And I don't know why this is switching itself today, but apparently it's time to go to the next one.
Move on, David.
So anyway, that was like $5,000 for the fence on the other one and $5,000 for the gate. So this is another idea, which I think aesthetically kind of sucks, but it would kind of get the purpose where you could just wrap around the field and kind of protect the field. $10,000 to do that with wrought iron would look better, but obviously the price tag.
What's cedar split rail?
5 foot.
It's the same thing that we just did up there. So if you go look up there,
it's
a cool look. It's like kind of rustic.
Deer Hollow.
Yeah.
But frankly, the thing about the cedar split rail though is, if somebody wanted to get through it, like they could just basically run through it. It's probably.
So as I look at this large open grass area that potentially is surrounded by a chain link fence, I wonder if this would be a good place for a dog park.
Well,
it's already a dog park.
Yeah.
It's TJ Riley.
Yeah, again.
No, it is. It's horrible. We have a tough time.
Well,
we were up there today.
I have a trail
cam
up there, and it, like over the weekend, I take about 700 pictures over the weekend, and probably 90% of those are people with dogs.
That aren't on leashes ever.
So this is another
dog mess everywhere you walk.
Are there bags and like they have
yeah.
around?
I,
they have one
of
those like stands
cameras,
that say.
There was
oh yeah.
Some lady
there
trying to kick her dog waste into the snow, and I told her, I'm like, well, there's bags over there if you want to pick that up.
We were just up there.
Probably shouldn't ask you to.
What's wrong with people?
We were just up there taking pictures, and it was like plane just hopped through every.
So what does the city do with that? In the summer, you just mow through it? What do you do? Does somebody actually pick it up?
The summer there, it's not Well, I don't know. I think you've accumulated on top of snow for. So it's bad.
That's a good job. But is, like, does somebody actually pick it up?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if you just, like, plow it under.
I think idea number two sounds real good. Number two sounds real good.
The concept can.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate
the gate?
That. We'll see. We'll kind of see. I might not even be my boss. They might just say, no, you're doing this. I don't know if it'll come back to us. I just kind of want to give maybe your opinion before we start having more meetings about this. So.
You said you lived up there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see people using this park for? Dogs?
Dogs, flying kites. It's super windy. It's perfect for that.
That's true.
There are a lot of people go to the Battery and host like parties and play at that thing. So, I mean, there's a good variety, and then people drive down to go and hike.
Well, I see several wedding pictures,
so,
too.
Yeah.
Like out so that they have the background?
I guess, yeah.
They typically go in the gravel park and they'll go through into Salt Lake or next to the Phragmites to get the picture, cattails, whatever.
Yeah.
And our city ordinance, I looked it up, said the park hours are from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay, so it's already decided that parks are available up until 11. So then the question is, do we value spending money on lights, which I think we all said yes.
Okay, so we go back to the lights then, like I said. There would be the option of maybe even doing, we would need to do bollards, like, in here. So maybe even include.
Can you explain what those are?
Bollards are so, it's just so the cars can't get through,
like you'll
the
see
areas that you walk through.
Mm-hmm.
A car can actually get through some of these. So you put one in the middle that's removable for
you'll see them like
maintenance.
Hydrants, you know what
we're talking about. Yeah, I do.
Just big concrete things.
So
okay.
They do make lighted ones. That would be fairly expensive, but we could do even lining parts of it with. It just depends on how much they want to spend.
So this green line that goes the fence, I, as a patron of the park, would be concerned about a fence between the bathroom and the play area. I'd have to go walk my kids to the bathroom. I wouldn't let them go outside of the fence without me. Is that just to keep cars off?
Yeah. It's so the fence you're thinking is not like. It's a split rail fence. It's very open. I mean, but it's all this is doing is trying to deter people from even thinking they can get through.
Okay.
It's not like, I mean, but if they want to, they'll get through it.
Okay.
Our other fear is the snowmobiles come back and the ATVs, the other stuff we've had.
People bringing their snowmobiles back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Of course.
Okay,
so. Last year, the
so,
third
like, this is what is there now? Something similar to that? I haven't been
yeah.
there.
Oh, that's pretty.
Last year, the third hole of the golf course got the green got trashed because somebody drove snowmobiles all over it. Yeah, so.
Those are adults, by the way.
So
those are not kids.
Yes,
those are adults.
I'm just
one of the problem. One of the problems here is too is that when they do this much damage, so it could potentially be closed all summer long next summer, this summer, to fix it. Just because if you have to reseed it, it's not like you can go and throw sod in it. We grew that park in; it's all seeded. So in order to do it, you have to reseed it and then grow it in just like brand new seed.
4 minutes of fun.
Oh my gosh.
4 minutes of fun tore it up pretty good.
So,
Of the three options, do you want us to select one or do you want to just be able to say I went through these options and the board supported that we do something about it?
No, it's like I said, they didn't even tell me to take this to you guys yet.
Okay.
This is me just kind of throwing stuff out there to maybe get, again, we have our bias. We don't want to have to fix the park after every weekend. So, I mean, it might look like a penitentiary if it was, like, our choice. So
the park is to be looked at, not used.
Good point. That's only somewhat sarcastic. But
that was David.
Damn right. Okay.
You have our support.
So kind of something more along the lines of number two is what you guys kind of prefer.
But also, if the city says the park is open until 11, then we get into liability if there's no lights up there.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody goes up there and it's pitch black and they
fall.
Break their leg,
mm-hmm.
and then the city's liable. So lights
well, see,
need to go up there anyway.
And maybe you guys know, I don't go up there at 11 o'clock. So
you've probably seen it at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
it's pitch dark.
Dark.
My guess, I mean, I have been up there late and I know how black it is, but
yeah.
I think, I don't know how many people are running around the trails. I don't know. I mean, that's where I think we kind of need to know what the community is doing. I mean, it's a dog park every time I'm up there. So.
Yeah, people are up there late, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wait, aren't dogs not allowed at city parks?
They
okay,
are.
That's what I was. Wait a minute, I just remembered something.
They are on a leash.
All city leash. Parks except for Legacy.
And then just never.
Yeah.
So yes, on a leash at all parks except Legacy. Oh, I forgot to open this. Okay, so you prefer number two to number one with the more fencing.
Yeah, because it keeps you, it keeps them out of those places where they don't need to be in the winter. But they still have access to the places they can be.
Yeah. I think it's probably like our best choice too. Because the council did want to try to keep the park open. If, you know, I understand that too, so.
Okay.
Most of the people that are there just walking dogs or going down the trail or going snowshoeing or whatever. So. Okay, well thank you for that. Jump back to the lighting, I guess, and I don't know if any of that impacts your thoughts on other places.
We value lighting. We think there should be lighting there.
Lighting where the three spots that the council suggested, is that where you
guys... Do you
guys
have any opinions about how much lighting? You live there. What do you think? Or live near there?
Is there going to be lighting along that green line that was on the other slide, or this... Those purple dots are the only
so right now, again, we have to run this conduit
right
here. So for us, it's just kind of common sense. We can run it right here. So the cost isn't huge. So
sure.
To do these three is kind of like, okay, that's the minimum. So I guess the question really is, if you guys, do you think three's good there? That's the first part.
Or
would you light it up more?
I would do more.
Well, how far is it going to go into the parking lot?
I should have printed up the other slide. I have, it covered basically most of just like the driving area, if I remember correctly.
With the lights that you have here?
With the lights that would be put in here. They're the city lights. They don't come back. They're not going to really affect the light. I mean, they're going to see them obviously from their houses, but it's not going to put light in their backyards. It's mostly just going to light this area here, which, I mean, it does leave a lot of the park still lit. We're just trying to take advantage of the situation.
Can the houses that are right there with their backyards facing, can they see Salt Lake from their backyards?
No.
They're low.
They can't.
They'd be low.
So we're not blocking
low.
A view
this
for them.
This trail is
no.
fairly high. No. So like this trail, if you walk on this trail, you're kind of looking down into their backyards. But I would
estimate have the playground lit now.
Oh, there's like the one light right here, right?
I had Kay add a light up there.
On the mast, right?
On the mast, yeah. It actually lights up the playground pretty good.
Oh, see, that was my question about putting lights along that green, because I knew that the playground was not lit.
Well, so, and all that stuff, there's going to be probably pretty good costs associated with it. I don't really know what the council wants me to ask you other than
we support the lights.
We support those lights. Are you looking that you would like more lights? Would you like the tennis courts lit up? What would you like to see?
I think it'd be cool to have the tennis courts lit up.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Okay.
We like that idea.
All right, we'll try to put together kind of a more descriptive plan.
And I think maybe one way we could answer that question of how many lights is, I think that what you were getting at is, do you want full light coverage? So like the light from one light meets the light coverage from the next light, or
that's
what you would prefer, is that the lights go right next to each other, or there's gaps in between?
I just don't know if it's like a tall street light, or if it's going to be one that has, it's like a solid post with the light on that side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have all that information.
I'm sure
it's the new style lights that the city's going to be using for everything. They just aim down, because
they don't want the light.
Is it like the ones on 130?
Yeah, it's exactly like the ones on 130.
So have you guys been up that street?
What street?
The new
where the bowling alley used to be.
Where the bowling alley used to be?
Oh, yes.
They kind of drop down like
this. Cool, they're the cooler decorative type lights.
Did they just do one on Cambria Drive across from Legacy Park?
I don't know about that.
There's been a new light up there that I haven't seen
that
before.
That light's actually been there for a really long time.
Didn't they just change it? It's tall and then it has like a really long arm?
No. Yeah, see, that was actually the first LED light that we installed, and that's been up for about probably 8 years.
What? No.
Yeah.
We must not. Right across from Legacy Park?
Yes.
On Cambria Drive?
Yep.
Well, I lived on that road for 10 years.
Someone probably shut it off with a BB gun or something.
Yeah, I've had people spray paint on it. that don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yeah, they'll spray paint.
No, it's not too bright by any means.
They'll spray paint the glass cause, so they don't doesn't
fat them duct
shine into their
stuff.
Some
people,
room.
People climb.
Jeez. So, okay.
Welcome to Public Works, guys.
I'm sorry,
I
you guys.
I would suggest five along there.
Okay, so
I think three would not be enough.
Yeah, well, so to get the full coverage, it was like nine.
There's a current view of Tunnel Springs.
It's dark.
Yeah, okay. Start with, that's what
but you can see the park.
See the park,
yeah.
With that light going. The wind must be turning it on. It's a motion light.
Yeah.
Okay. Does the funding for this lighting then come from our budget?
No. This is,
we don't have to worry about that either?
This is
great, yeah. Spend all the money, sure.
Well, no, so
15 lights.
Lights for everyone.
So City Council said three. I think that the plans, I could shoot you guys out the plans. I could email them out to you. I should have put them on this. I think it's like nine to get full coverage. So, I mean.
And you were saying split the difference?
Five.
Yeah, and I think those lights at 130 East cost about $1,200.
They don't care. It's not going to happen.
I don't
care.
$15.
You get a light and you get a light. And our reasons for wanting more light are increased safety, particularly running, or like even walking and using the trail for fall hazards.
Especially since it's open till 11.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we do support lights on the tennis court.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Do you have other things specifically that you want us to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Another piece of pizza. We'll warm it up. Okay, so Mathis Park. You guys gave us the go-ahead to go do the fence.
Yes. And that is going to be
$48,000? Yeah, it's the same price as we said before.
But that means we've got about $50,000 to work with before fiscal year end, right?
Okay, well...
Hold that thought.
Yeah. No, I think you have more, but we'll talk about that. The problem, we haven't started this, so we wanted to tell you guys why. We're actually going to do a little bit more research on this. So if you guys see, I tried to make it so you could see this little orange section.
Yeah.
That's
the empty lot, right?
Yeah, it's owned by these guys. So the problem we had when we actually started going to do the fence is if we were to put the fence in, then we'd be idiots because these trees are just going to do what they're already doing to the fence now. So we kind of need to figure out, but the problem is a lot of the trees are on their property. So we can't just go cut down their trees. So we're actually going to look into this property. I don't know if they're willing to sell, because it might be worth just us trying to get the...
It's a great idea.
Well, we got to work with them before we put the fence up. This is the long and short.
So what's the time frame for that? That'll slow things down, obviously, but does that mean we could use this money this fiscal year, or is that not what
potentially, I think we'll know in the next couple weeks. We're trying to get a hold of the homeowner that was the wrong homeowner. So now we know who we need to talk to, and I think we'll get it figured out fairly quick. But, I mean, we don't know if they're even interested in selling anything, but we've got to at least figure out something as far as, because we don't want to put up the fence if those trees are still going to be there. You guys saw the damage that they did. I think I actually threw a picture in.
Well, that's you.
That's a great
show.
Thanks for that.
You will.
So, and if they don't want to sell, then we have to come up with another.
I don't know. I'll have to figure it out.
We have to figure out like if we go halves of them to get our fence replaced, or if we do the labor to cut the trees down. It's just it'd be pointless for us to do anything without something taking care of the tree.
So right now, we hope that they want to work.
Okay. Even if they don't buy, at least. Even if they're not willing to spend the money, I mean, even if they said...
Let us get the trees out of there.
Yeah, just let us fix the problem so we don't waste our money.
Right, okay.
Because it'll be back to where it was in a couple years.
Cool.
Okay, so we still have money left in the budget. We gave... we kind of settled on last time, I think my memory's right, that we were going to do Palmquist, right? We wanted to do some work there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the full scope of work based on probably what money we had is. I did have $30,000 in the budget the year before for Palmquist, which is going to give us a little bit more wiggle room to work with there. But I think what we probably need to do is kind of decide how you guys want these to look. So I actually threw up, this was the Mathis Park options that they gave us, if you guys remember. This one was $109,000. This was the whole layout with the little workout facilities and stuff around it.
And but that included regrading that hill, right?
Yeah.
And that's included in that price?
I don't remember. I think this was pretty much a final price, right? You have the bid in front of me?
Excellent. Sounds great.
So that was option. Yeah, this is the option one, so these are still all the same.
I think option two is more.
Yeah, the option two is more. This might have been the hill one. But this was just the playgrounds and stuff, so I don't know. I threw it in here this time. I know we talked about doing Palm Quest first, but maybe just to think about for the upcoming year or wherever you guys want to go with stuff. I don't know. We kind of got to regroup, I think, and talk.
I think what we had said about we wanted to do the mapless fence immediately because that was an immediate need. But then yes, Palm Quest Park first because we weren't sure that there were enough children using Mathis Park to justify the additional play structures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the fence included in that price?
Or no, that was separate.
Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about Palm Quest then.
So let's jump to Palm Quest. So we had this option with the cool hill. This was $149. You guys probably remember this with the cool slope and stuff. And then the option two is $164, which is just a little bit different as far as zip line and stuff, I think. I can't remember all the differences, to be honest with you. But if memory serves me, I think we kind of talked about like just instead doing maybe just focusing on the playground right now, and because we gave you guys the catalogs with all the different, mm-hmm. and maybe doing like a pirate park or something, or just a specific playground. So I didn't know if you guys, I don't know where those books ended up.
I think Ryan might have.
So I think we kind of just need to probably start like really looking at the playground mm-hmm. options and maybe, because I mean we could do just the playground and that's going to cut, you know, it might be 70,000 or whatever.
So much of this stuff takes time though, because everyone else is doing the same exact thing, mm-hmm. not being able to do it right now, and then springtime is just go. So,
but I remember we were kind of talking because I think it would be cool too to do more theme parks, you know, where you're going with a certain pirates here, cowboys here, whatever it is. So,
speaking of that, did anyone ever make it up to Farmington to see theirs? Their theme park, their baseball. I know we mentioned it before, but I didn't know if anyone needed that.
Have you seen it? No, is it pretty cool?
It's really
a baseball themed park?
Yeah. It's our big complex that is right by the rec center, but
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They've themed that entire park about baseball, so it was like, that's cool. You know, mounds of zip lines and like, you know, play structures out of mitts and helmets, and
it's pretty neat. There's a lot of cool stuff in those catalogs we gave you guys. So it's probably, I don't know, the best way to have you guys maybe just look through that and maybe decide on something. Because, I mean, obviously, I don't think anyone wants to do the full.
What age of kids do you see playing at this park?
They're mostly elementary. But I see a lot of families using the picnic area, too. A lot of people have picnics there, too.
And that was over back here. It's not on this picture, right?
Water area.
Over the water area, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, so I'll say this. I think, I mean, between what's in the budget this year and then what I had in the budget to already do this park, which I don't think I mentioned last time because I maybe forgot about it, there might be enough to do kind of the full thing if that's what you guys want to look at. So,
and then that wouldn't be touching mattress.
Well, I think we probably still have enough to do the fence.
Just the fence.
That sounds great. Where'd you come up with all this money?
And this included David is magic. Kind of taking the parking spots out,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
And making
and just utilizing
it
street
that
parking.
Street parking.
That
though
needs to happen before anything else, I think, with this park. Once that happens, it'll be a lot better. But
you're saying just because of the line of sight, like of kids and playing
and the freaks that like to hide under the little wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they still? You're still seeing that?
Sometimes.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Like just watching kids.
Parks sprinklers on. Parks are bad for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a car that you haven't ever seen there before that looks like it's lived in, and there's someone.
Oh.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So that picnic area, is that being removed? The one that's over around the corner?
I don't. We can. I mean, again,
So
we kind of need probably direction as far as like all this stuff.
I think that we should make sure there's a picnic area.
I think so, but we've got to make sure that that's closed off. I mean,
just nothing on the water.
Nothing over the water
tank.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to say duh, but kind of duh, right?
Hey, preach on.
Like safety first and then aesthetically pleasing, in my mind.
Yes, absolutely.
There's probably room,
I agree 100%.
There's probably room from the west edge of that of the playground right now. So you wouldn't go over in over the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And those are old. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you need a really big pavilion.
No.
Are you guys familiar with Deer Hollow Park?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a pretty small pavilion.
Yep.
I think something like that size would be definitely adequate.
How many tables are in that? Do you know?
I think two. Yeah. Yeah, there's two.
That's plenty. It's not like there's tons
right.
of people there, but there are.
Yep.
It is pretty steady. You know, people are generally there every weekend, every day after school on nice days. So there's somewhere for them to sit or whatever. That's fine.
Okay, so as a group, then we would say yes, go with Mathis Park remodel,
Palmquist.
Whatever. Or, sorry, Palmquist. Things that we prioritize that are there is a pavilion with small pavilion with a few
and
tables.
Kind of the concept, and then maybe you guys can come back with like maybe exactly what you want to see playground wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
none of us have those.
I have a few of them still.
You do?
Just a couple, yeah.
I think Ryan had
but
most
Ryan,
of them.
Ryan
he
had
might
them.
Have.
Yeah.
What's the best way to give you that information? Should we just each come with ideas next meeting?
Yeah,
okay.
Email if you got questions. Because for us, I mean, we can deal. We've got contacts with, Sontag and these companies that do this stuff. But it's really not fair for us for them to just keep throwing out, hey, do this, just throw some concepts together. Throw more concepts. You know, like, I don't know.
So what we can do then.
Limit it down and tell them kind of what we're really aiming for so we're not wasting their time.
If we wait until next meeting, which is the end of March, is that an okay time frame to get this information to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So bring to next meeting, and what we can then look for is what kinds of play structures do you want? Do you want to see, you know, climbing structures? Do you want to see slides? Do you want to see the zip line? What is it that you prioritize, one? And then two, if there's a concept idea, like pirates or something like that you value. Does that sound like a good idea, David? Does that sound like the information you need?
Yep.
Type of structure. Okay. Okay, so that will then, so yes, we support the Palmquist plan, and then yes, the Mathis fence rebuild, and then that will use up our 2019 budget allocation, right? That $100,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. I don't know. Like, we got to figure out money still.
Unless you can pull up more money.
Well, yeah, David is very good at that.
Some more forgotten money.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we don't leave money on the table after it's been allocated to us.
You guys really realize that this is the first time we're actually putting in the budget for a similar amount next year. So, we've got to start. Parks are fun to build, but you got to replace them. You got to do this kind of stuff. So, it's good that this is happening. So, yeah, we're all for it.
Okay. Is there anything specific to that fiscal year 2019 budget allocation you'd want to talk about? Okay, can we talk about next year then? So, go ahead.
I guess my opinion is you guys we've given you kind of our views on the parks that need the most love and you kind of see stuff. You got your own opinions, which is great. But I would probably say, what we're going to do is we're just going to ask for the same amount. So, part of it could bleed into Palmquist even, but I'd say I don't know that it's that imperative that we know that yet. I think we need to focus at what we're want to get done now, and then we'll probably expand from there. I mean, we don't have the specifics on this yet. You know, we don't know how much the price is. So I think just getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I think it's good to start thinking about, but I don't know.
Was the Legacy Park turf out of this budget also?
No, we had put money in to replace that before. I was sitting there, and then the council voted it down because they wanted to work with, so but the money is there for that.
Okay, let's do just a quick brainstorm then, maybe not about amounts of money that we would recommend for the 2020 budget, but I know when I talked to Ryan, he wanted to have some information so that when he goes into the budget negotiations with the city council, he can say, these are the kinds of things that are a priority for this board. I think maybe maintenance is something that we can say, or updating the parks is something we could say. What else would you say, or like, this is, what can we give Ryan as justification for why he can negotiate for this money in the budget? Updating the parks.
Safety.
We like the idea of extending the hours of use at the park, so maybe lighting or those things.
Lights.
Okay. Any other ideas? Kind of like expanded use. I really, really love parks that have tracks around them like that. Mm-hmm. I would like all the parks to have that, as best as they can. It doesn't fit with every park design, but I would love that. Okay, anything else then? All right.
And I think if Mathis is still like a priority, I mean, that could really just kind of fall in line. That's what we, when we set the priorities, we talked Palmquist, Mathis, and then a lot of the stuff on Highway 89 that we want to look at. So, I mean...
Well, Palmquist and Mathis are going to be addressed with 2019 budget. So this for 2020.
Well, I guess if Mathis would be more if you want to do the playground, because all we're doing is a fence. You know, if
Kay.
Something like that's important or any upgrades. We talked
Mathis.
About the track there with the
playground.
With
the hill.
Yeah.
Are there any other parks in particular that you feel like need attention in the 2020 budget then? In addition to what David had said. Has just said
aren't
parks
there,
that you know by
there
your
longer
house.
Longer term plans for Hatch Park.
Yeah, you don't want to touch Hatch because
right.
it's probably going to be a, that's going to be its own
right.
thing. So.
Okay.
I wouldn't spend a cent there.
Okay, I feel like we have some information then that we can give to Ryan.
Yep.
Is that all that you wanted to talk about then? Are you ready to move on?
Sure.
We don't have to.
So I have,
this
so
is
I
your no. This is your time. I just don't want to cut
this
you
is,
off.
No, this
Kay.
Is my time.
Kay.
Okay, so let's go to signage.
Great.
We are so sick of signage, as we talked before.
At the parks?
No, for all these events.
Banners.
We're basically, I'm going to ask for a full-time guy to completely put up signs if we keep this route that we're currently going on. So, these are kind of the main locations we've generally done the signs. So, you guys were talking about doing for our events and stuff. We also do them for, like, our spring cleanup, our... The festival, a Liberty Fest for we've got the football groups that put them up, Bountiful, even done spots with stuff. So anyway, it's been the farmers market wants signage. We're going to do signage for the food truck stuff. So basically, it's just getting out of control. So what we had talked about last time, if you guys remember, is just maybe doing some bigger signs. So like these, like you see for developments and stuff. And we do maybe like 3 months at a time and just put all of our events. And basically, that takes it out of your budget. That puts it on us, and that puts it so we can just... And ironically, these are less money.
How do you... What are those? Is that like a...
So it's like a...
The sign that then gets like Mod Podged on there?
Yeah, no, it's just wood. You can have everything printed on
it. It's
you
actually,
print it on the wood?
It's composite.
So it's they have wood or they have a metal... it has a plastic material on both sides, so the metal is it's lighter, but it still has really good durability. But it is it's like a stiff it's like a board.
Like
and then they
board.
Yeah, kind of it's on the inside on the outside it's actually metal on the inside it's plastic. Plastic is sandwiched in between it, and then you can reuse them, you can reprint on them.
So the beauty of this is we just have more. Space on it, they're better, more durable signs because the wind blows the other ones over.
People take the other. You'd be surprised. People take the other banners. They, in the wind, and it's 2 a.m. We have. I mean, we don't have like an alert that goes off that says windy banners are going to blow away. The next morning,
space.
They're gone. And
so how
expensive?
How would you share space?
So it'd probably be. And we just got this like 3 minutes before the meeting. So. But you'd probably just do something where you'd have like Kite Festival logo dates, you know, just
sure.
really simple icon, simple things, yeah. dates, you know. But we just hit probably 3 months worth of, if you guys know your dates for stuff, we'd have the dates. I think they'd probably be more attention grabbing, first of all.
Yeah.
They're more secure, more, and frankly, they're going to cost us less.
So basically, every 3 months, a new one of these will go up, and it will be printed new every 3 months?
That's kind of the theory I'm going with right now, but I haven't, I mean, it's, it has
a... Well, and in all reality, it could work in the fact of, like, if we already have a calendar and everyone's happy with it, we print off 3 months, then I already have a pre-made, so we take these ones back and put up new ones. And I we haven't really talked a lot about it, but I think it would make sense to kind of permanently mount posts in certain locations, so all we have to do is take the old one, put the new one on, drill it in.
Because basically these locations that we showed you, we've been, there's stuff there all about 9 months of the year.
So is that's the fire station in Foxborough, right? And then what's the one on Center Street? Is that Maverick?
Yeah. No, it's the one that right before you, like, right out as you turn onto Foxborough Drive. So right before you go on the bridge.
Oh, it's way down there.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're trying to capture everyone that comes in. All the entrances. You know, all the entrances. So that's where we have been putting them.
This is the same location we've been doing all the stuff.
Right.
So then we're not paying for posters.
What about something? Right. Yeah,
I think it sounds awesome.
But the locations, there's nothing by Lee's?
Yeah, no. Like getting off Redwood.
Well, you have
you got the one going into, you know,
the fire station.
We have our marquee there by Lee's.
Yeah, and we put the stuff on those roundabouts.
The roundabouts, right?
The roundabouts, this sign out here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's still that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Electronic boards.
And I think you just keep it really simple, really clean. You know, food trucks, food truck night, Mondays, Legacy Park.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's
so
a great idea.
I think it's a great idea.
I'm down for
everyone. Yeah, we're all in.
Okay.
So tell us, what do you need from us then?
I don't know. Like I said, we honestly got this 45 minutes before this meeting started. So we've got to kind of figure out our sizing stuff.
And how much you can fit on each one.
Maybe 3 months is, maybe we got to do it every other month. Maybe we got to, I don't know yet. We'll have to.
Yeah, so want big enough that people driving.
That's right, can actually read it.
But you don't want it so it's too busy that they, you know, they can't get the information.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So it's really,
but it's there for a long time, which I like that.
Yeah.
Less is more on something like this.
Exactly.
And I mean, at the end of the day, it's like get a website where they can, you know, go get more information if they need it to. Pretty simple. So.
And then they're not having to read four posters that are that we try to shove into their ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's so much better.
Science.
Yeah.
Okay.
So much better. Honestly, and if we changed them out every month, it'd still be cheaper than what we're doing right now.
Cool.
So
I think it's a great idea. Is that all that you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't know why he's still here.
Because we're fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me pizza. Now I'm obligated.
There's more pizza.
I think that's all I have.
All right.
Do you have anything else?
Mm-mm.
Thank you. Thank you for dealing with bad decisions by other people. Stupid people. I was going to say stupid people.
We got a book of them.
We've seen the book.
Oh,
it's horrible.
It's horrible. It'll scar people. But it's a good book because I think it gets the point across. Like, normal people don't think that those things go on.
Yeah.
So,
Stan
normal,
said
normal,
like
people,
pictures.
Normal people don't expect to walk into a bathroom and see something in a urinal.
So it was a book of photos that the parks department, they of the things they deal with at all the parks. Yeah.
We did it for like 2 months. Yeah. We took pictures and it's...
Start an Instagram account.
I thought about that.
Oh, God.
It could be like people of Walmart. It could be
the people of North LA.
Public parks. No, don't associate with North LA. We're better than that. Okay. This is the open topics, chair notes. Other things we have not talked about that you wanted to talk about at this meeting. Anything? All right, let's review what I wrote down as action items then before our next meeting. Manuel is going to figure out the question about the email list. I'm going to make sure everybody has each other's phone numbers so we can send things to Naomi if we want to for Instagram.
I will get turf feedback about Legacy Park and report back to David next Friday. We will all bring ideas of play structures to our next meeting, both the type of structure we value and a concept for the park, if we have a concept for that. Any other action items that I missed? Probably not. Okay, then just a review for our next meeting, March 26th, and we are adjourned. Yay!